A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, here we are, another Saturday morning. I wish I knew how to start this. I always feel kind of dumb. Yeah. I wish there was something really snazzy that I could say, like a catchphrase. Wouldn't it be cool if I had a catchphrase? But if I had a catchphrase.
Good heavens.
If I had a catchphrase, I would want a costume too.
Yes, of course.
A costume for radio doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Yeah, a costume. I don't even know about that.
No, probably not the thing for radio.
No.
Maybe if we ever make the transition to video,
right.
I can get a costume.
If I was in a costume, I would be like some sort of superhero that always had bare feet.
Always bare feet.
Yes.
That's going to really limit where you can do your superhero
task. No, I'm going to have like feet of steel.
Oh, leather feet.
Yeah, so that I don't have to be squishy green grass all the time, you know. Because really, let's face it, that is my favorite place to be.
To be barefoot on squishy grass?
Yes, where it's just so soft. It's like
lush carpet
and, you know, you just kind of sink nicely into it.
Okay, lush grass.
I like that better than gravel.
I like lush better than squishy.
Oh.
Squishy makes me wonder. We just got a dog.
Ew, gross.
Well, yeah. So let's say lush grass.
Okay.
So finish with whatever point you're trying to.
I don't even know now. Now that you've talked about the dog, I've lost.
You don't know what your point was?
No.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know where you were going because it's right there on the paper in front of you.
Right.
You wanted to reference the fact that we're going to be in the studio today talking with Aaron Caterberg from Grapids Irrigation to help us all get lush grass that Betsy can come
that
and stand
superheroes
in.
Like me can stand in.
Well, if you find her standing out in your yard with her hands on her hips.
You'll know why.
You know your yard is just right. Anyway, Aaron Caterberg from Grapids Irrigation is going to be with us in the studio talking about new advancements in the irrigation field. And the best part about all of this is that most of these, if not all of these advancements, are things that you can apply to your system right now. It can be retrofitted, and it's definitely less expensive than you might think.
Right. And while you probably haven't had to run your sprinkler very much this week with all of the rain that we've had, you know, that rain may have caused some problems in your basement. You know, damp basements, especially this week, are a very real thing. And there's a product out there that can actually help, you know, might not completely get rid of the problem, but it's definitely going to minimize it. And surprisingly, it's a paint product. We're going to tell you all about it, and you're not going to want to miss this.
We're also going to be talking about some must-have back-to-school products, supplies, for those college kids that are getting ready to head back to school. And we're not going to give you the typical list of papers, pencils, new computers, stuff like that.
Right.
We've got home improvement stuff.
Because that's cooler.
It is cooler. And honestly,
Help me make friends.
Exactly. Betsy had some of these things and actually has friends now. We're going to tell you what you need so that your kids, even if they're as bad off as Betsy, can still have friends by the end of the year.
Right. But before we talk about me and my lack of friends, apparently, we are in the studio with Beth McGuire. She is an architectural and design representative for Benjamin Moore. And we've worked with her for a number of years. You know, I think I've worked with her for probably 7 or so years now. She's done some of our designer events, you know, some of our customer events, things like that. And she has this way of explaining things so that it's easy to understand, you know, these big, long technical terms, she condenses them and makes it so that even I can understand them. So, Beth, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, we want to talk about lighting and color today because the two things go together so very well and they're so important, you know, one for the other. So, can you tell us a little bit about how lighting actually affects the color when people put it up on their walls?
Sure. So what happens when people put a color up on their wall, different lighting sources can reflect back different undertones. And when you change that lighting source, a different color can reflect back. There's a fancy term for it called metamerism or color inconstancy, but for the most
part. Color inconstancy?
Yeah.
And metamerism.
I know, they're million-dollar words, right?
Oh, I feel so much smarter after hearing it. I wish I could have pronounced it.
Right. Yeah.
But all that it means is that it reflects back a color that, you know, that you might have not even seen based on that light source. So some light sources are warmer, cooler, and they will reflect back different colors because of that.
All right. So we've got all of that going on. I guess one of the things that we run into at Repco Light all the time, customers come in, they're looking for colors. We know that the light itself, the bulb, like you just said, that plays a huge role in the look of the color. Let's just walk through some of the common, most common light sources and what kind of effect they will have on any particular color. So like an incandescent light bulb, probably the most common, or that's going away. But
right, unless you have a store of them in your garage like I do. No. But yes, incandescent is still out there to some degree, and it gives a warm feeling. Mm-hmm. People love that the incandescent bulb because it makes us look good, right? And it makes us feel good. And so those are going to really complement warmer colors, warmer tones. Mm-hmm. You may have a compact fluorescent, which is tends to have more of a kind of a bluish cast. Fluorescents just are naturally, and they've improved on them over the years. Mm-hmm. But those are going to maybe complement cooler colors. LEDs are really now replacing incandescents a lot. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that they have improved on them considerably in terms of how they affect color. So the best best thing you can really do is just kind of read the labels.
Right. What about natural lighting? How does that, because I know that's a huge thing, especially if you have a lot of windows, that's, sometimes a major problem.
It's really important because if you think, about color and lighting, our homes really are a mixture of that daylight and artificial light. So we want to make sure that we're looking at that color in kind of all different times of the day, right? And definitely daylight is going to be an important factor. So if you live by a lake, the quality of light is going to be a little bit different than, if you live by a forest preserve or something like that, just because of the things it reflects back.
So lighting affects color, but the other part of it is the shadows that are created where the light doesn't hit, or how the light is filtered through different things.
Right.
That plays a huge role as well.
It does. And what I always tell people is when you've got a color sample, say from a store, a paper sample, you want to look at it in the plane in which you're going to see it. So a wall is going to look very different than a ceiling because natural shadows can change the way a color looks. So it can be the very same color on your ceiling and your wall, and it can look completely different.
Completely different.
Yeah. And same thing when it turns a corner, too. If you think about, people want to use like an accent wall or something like that, and they might choose a color that's right next to it on the color wheel or whatever the color strip is.
Right.
You want to kind of make sure that you jump a couple just to make sure that it looks different enough, because natural shadows around a corner or on a ceiling will make a color look very different. They'll affect how it looks.
Right. So making a sample helps a lot.
It does. Put the sample up on your wall and live with it for a few days or a week even, or a couple weeks. Don't just, put it up there and go, okay, that's the color I've got to paint tomorrow. Give yourself some time.
Exactly.
Put it on the wall. Watch it at all different times of the day and night with artificial light, with the light coming through. I live, in an area where it gets to be gloomy a little bit. Sometimes here in the Midwest, it gets a little gray sometimes. And so, you want to make sure that it's going to look good in that light as well as those really bright sunny days.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we are talking about lighting and color and how different lights, light bulbs, and natural lighting are going to affect exactly what you see on the walls. It's not always as cut and dry as we like to think it is. So now let's keep moving on. And how do people choose a color? With all these factors, it seems so complicated. How do they choose, the color that's right for them?
So I always say start with something that inspires you, right? A pillow, a piece of artwork, anything, your favorite tie. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're drawn to something because of the color combinations, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are some beautiful combinations right around us every day. And so take that favorite pillow or that favorite rug and look at the color combinations in there and use those as inspiration for your room. Set that as a backdrop, maybe.
Okay.
So that's the place to start. And then, you mentioned, I think this is so important, give yourself time. We see that a ton at Repco Light, where people come in and they've
got
a project.
My painter's coming tomorrow.
Exactly.
I got to pick a color.
They've got to pick the color. And what they end up with is trouble down the road, a lot of times because of the role lighting plays.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself time. Look at it in different lighting situations. Now, one of the things that we see online all the time when you read about this or look into solutions, it's recommended to paint big samples on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't like that. And I don't think you like that either.
Don't. And I'll tell you why. Let's say you get that sample painted on your wall, the middle of your wall. First of all, whatever color is on your wall already can affect how that looks, mm-hmm. because the color adjacency has something to do with it as well. But also, let's say you love that color and now you decide, but oh, gosh, I really want to paint it in my bedroom or my bathroom. Well, it's now on your wall. I'd rather you painted it on a sample of something, drywall or a board. That way you can take it with you. Plus, you want to make sure that it goes with the things that are staying, like a piece of furniture or a rug, and that it works well with those pieces that are staying in your room. We can't always revamp everything and change everything in our spaces. So
right.
Make sure you love it with everything.
The other thing that we like, just practically speaking, is you haven't layered paint on your wall. Now,
right.
if you do it the right way,
yeah, if you roll it out and
problem.
It's pretty smooth, you're okay. But we hear complaints from painters. Yeah, they just slapped it on there with the brush. And, then they have a lot of time, potentially. I've had people with 15 different samples on their wall. The painter has to sand all of that unless you make it really smooth.
Right.
So from a practical standpoint, you're saving yourself some money if you're hiring a painter and you're helping that painter out so he doesn't have as much work to do.
Now, Benjamin Moore we sell, Benjamin Moore samples,
yep.
Pints.
Sample pints.
And that's a great way to go, a great way to get a small amount of the color, test it out, put it on some sample boards,
mm-hmm.
and then just look at it in every lighting situation you can. Give yourself time, like you said earlier,
absolutely.
To live with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all right. Beth McGuire from Benjamin Moore, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Well, that's just the beginning of today's Repco Light Home Improvement Show. When we come back, we're going to tell you about those school supplies you should be sending to college with your kids. And every other parent who didn't send their kid to college with these is going to groan and go, oh, why didn't I think of that? We're going to tell you what they are when we come back. Stay tuned.
What if there was a paint so special that you had to seek it out? No, not like that. Not that far. Much closer. Like your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Yep, you got it. Because if finding that paint makes you and your walls beam with pride, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And here we are again.
Yes.
And if I knew all the rules of radio,
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to play the You've Got a Friend in Me song from the Toy Story movie.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a friend in me.
Yeah. Let me guess song. Why.
Well, because we were talking about your friends or
uh-huh.
your lack of friends or how
right.
you finally made friends in college. And I think this is a great story. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
And I think Betsy Thompson needs to tell us exactly how she finally made some friends in college, because as goofy as this sounds, it's a really good segment for a home improvement show.
It is. My godfather got me a cordless drill and some tools before I went to college,
mm-hmm.
Tool bag all filled up. And that was my kind of thing. I loved stuff like that. Yeah, it was a little weird to be a girl and like that stuff, but it was just me.
I got a pack of number 2 pencils and some paper.
Well, that's
college rule.
That's what most kids
That's how
get.
I rolled back then.
Well, and funny thing, I move into the dorms and I come in with all my tools and everyone kind of looks like, who's the girl with the tools? Really, you brought tools to college?
Mm-hmm.
And 20 minutes later, there was a knock on my door. Did I see that you had a cordless drill in here? Yes. Could I borrow that?
Suddenly, you're big man on campus.
Exactly.
Well,
24 hours, my door revolved with people knocking and asking, can I borrow this? Can I borrow
that? Sure.
Tape measure, screwdrivers, hammer? Do you have these things? Yes, sure. Before you know it, I knew everybody on my floor because I had lent them all my tools.
Well, and you made friends.
And I made friends.
And the biggest thing is, the friend part, that's just a funny lead-in. But the truth of it is, you needed these things.
Right.
And everybody on your floor, on your
dorm needed them,
yep. but didn't have them.
Exactly.
So many people came without them. They had their number 2 pencils
mm-hmm.
and their college-ruled notebooks.
Yes.
like
I was the prepared one.
But didn't have anything else. So
yep.
we thought, what a great thing. Everybody's getting ready for college. We know it's not quite time yet, but you're starting to get things packed
yep.
up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, middle to end of August, things
yep.
are going to start up. So you're gathering your supplies.
Right.
Why not gather some home improvement type supplies and really be ready?
Right.
And the first thing we'd recommend is just real quick, a tool bag.
Yeah.
Start with that. Get a tool bag and then a hammer. That's the first one.
Yes. Hammers are critically important when it comes to things like that. And then I had a cordless drill, which I loved because it's way better than using screwdrivers, and you just can't quite get it in that last little bit. So,
well, and a drill, it's so many uses, you know, drilling holes, driving screws, all of those things.
Exactly.
That is a really good one. In fact, if you're going to get nothing else, that's the go-to tool to get, and you don't have to spend tons of money. Sometimes we get it in our heads that we've got to buy, you know, a high-end professional grade product, or what we get isn't going to last.
Right.
You know, and there is some truth to that. You get what you pay for.
Right.
And when you're using it at home on a regular basis, it's important to get good tools.
Yeah.
But got to remember here, this
it's
is
going
for college,
to college,
and it's only going to be used once in a while. So you can feel free to get some of the lower priced tools out there, especially in this cordless drill idea. And it'll work just fine.
Exactly. Mine lasted for years and, you know, it was not by any means a high-end drill, but it did the job. You also want, you know, pliers and adjustable wrench. Those are important things to have. Allen wrenches, you know, a lot of the furniture that you get for dorm rooms and, you know, small apartments when you're in college, they all put together with Allen wrenches and you always lose them. You can never find them when it needs to be tightened up.
Allen wrenches, you say that, and I was just going to make a joke about, you know, furniture being put together with Allen wrenches, but I just helped a friend move. And he had a very expensive bed. And lo and behold, we're getting everything locked in with Allen wrenches. So, yeah, it's used everywhere. Very handy to have.
Yep.
Throw that in the bag. Very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing would be a utility knife.
Yep.
Or something like a multi-tool, or maybe a combination of both.
Yeah, I always had a Leatherman. I love that thing. You know, it had all kinds of different tools, knife, saw, scissors, pliers, obviously, on it. So, yeah, that's a nice thing to have, you know, if you want to cut out some of the other stuff. Tape measure is critically important, so you don't have to use your arms walking around the room.
I did that a lot.
That does not surprise
me. I got very good at it.
Uh-huh.
I could make my arms very stiff and keep them equidistant, you know, as I measured things.
Yep.
And then I'd walk somewhere. It was really tough when what I had was measuring was wider
arms.
Than the doorway.
Oh.
Then I had to, you know, really angle.
Right.
But yeah, a tape measure would have been a lot handier, and I probably would have looked cooler and maybe had more friends.
Maybe.
Definitely the girls might have liked me better.
Maybe.
So a tape measure, that's a good idea.
Yes. Duct tape. You know, you can never have enough duct tape, according to my dad. So it's going to be handy no matter what you're doing. Power strip and extension cords. Too many college students don't have enough, so always send them with extras of these. It's going to come in handy.
Again, very inexpensive. A flashlight, batteries, of course.
Yep.
All kinds of things. Super glue. Door stops. Door stops is a really good one.
Door stops, because how many college kids do you know that they set their filled laundry basket with all kinds of stuff that they're about to pack in their car in front of the door so that they can
brace
take
it open?
Yeah, so they
and
can
then
take
trip
big
over
items
the basket.
Out. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Somebody, either the person going backwards or the person following them, is going to trip on that thing and land on their face.
I just braced my office door open with cans or cases of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
And then tripped over them. Was that the inspiration for you saying this or?
No.
I would like to think that what I did was an inspiration.
No,
for
I watched a lot of people trip over laundry baskets in front of their doors.
I wasn't carrying my Leatherman at the time, my multi-purpose tool.
Yes.
Or I'd have been taking a trip to the hospital, unless I had duct tape.
And then you could duct tape yourself back together.
Exactly.
See, look how handy these things are going to be.
At least seal the wounds up.
Right. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're just talking about, you know, some college things to consider, you know, some tools and things like that. But now we want to talk about something else that Repcolite's going to put on. It's a college seminar, and it's a safety seminar. And, you know, I know everyone's groaning and going, oh, who wants to go to this? But hold on.
I want to go to this big time.
But hold on. This seminar, we are featuring Joe Koons. He's the 26-year Navy SEAL that we interviewed a couple weeks ago, I think, about safety. He has a consulting company, Coverdown Consulting, and he was talking to us after the show, you know, about some of the things that college kids run into, you know, the safety concerns that they're just not aware are out there. And so we're offering everyone out there a chance to come and listen to Joe for free. It's August 3rd, 7 o'clock at Celebration Cinema in the Rivertown Crossings Mall.
All the information's on their website. You can go to repcolite.com and find that out. You're not
going
to want to miss this. It is so cool. Joe's got such great information. It will impact your life. I promise you that. It will change how you look at everything, and it will help keep your kids safe. Again, all the information is at repcolite.com. You're going to want to check it out and get registered. Space is limited. It's free, but you do have to register. So get to repcolite.com and sign up.
Coming up next on the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, do you struggle with a damp basement every time it rains? Well, we have an inexpensive solution that just might help you keep it a little drier. We'll tell you what it is when we come back. Stay tuned.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking around through the break. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, we've had a lot of rain this week, and I'm guessing that there are some people out there who might be dealing with at least damp, if not potentially very wet basements, just because the rain has come in buckets and torrents.
Well, I know I had this when I was living in Zealand. I had our first house, my wife and I, and our kids. We just left a few years ago. So we made a three-bedroom house that had two usable bedrooms. The other one was upstairs, and there was no cooling and no heat.
Oh,
summers were really bad, and winters were almost as bad. It was bad all year round.
Yes.
There was a couple of weeks in the fall that you could be up there, and it was tolerable. But anyway, we had two bedrooms, five kids.
Yep.
My wife and I, we lived in this house. We made it work. We loved it. The one thing I hated about that house is the water in the basement.
Yeah.
We never had pools and pools of water. But when it would rain, when we'd get storms or systems like this that would move through and stay for a week or two, we'd end up with water starting to come in through the walls. And then began a great big process. Probably once or twice a year I had to do this, get the shop vac out, keep up on it, because I couldn't let it get too bad because I didn't have a sump pump to push it to. It was just a lot of work. I hated it. I'd get super tense every time it would start to rain.
Imagine that.
Oh, and it's not good. I'm not good tense.
No, no.
I'm barely functioning when I'm calm. But when I'm tense, there's a whole new level that happens.
Yeah.
But anyway, water block is a product, a paint product, a paint waterproofer that we want to talk about because I didn't know about it all those years ago. And I can guarantee there's a lot of people listening right now who have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
And this is something that might be a fix for you. Water block is specifically designed for problem basements, and it really works.
It does. It's made by Benjamin Moore, or specifically Insulex. Insulex is owned by Benjamin Moore. And it keeps the water that's, you know, seeping in from the outside from actually coming through your walls and then dripping down them or making your basement completely soggy.
Right. See, underground water is always looking for the path of least resistance.
Yes.
It's under a fair amount of pressure, and it just keeps moving around, looking for that path, that easiest
to get
way
out.
Through.
Yep.
And typically, when it hits your concrete walls, the foundation walls, that turns out to be the path of least resistance.
Right.
You know, concrete is incredibly porous. It absorbs the water like a sponge, and you end up with it running down the walls and in your basement when you've got a situation like this. You really need something with good resistance to pressure that you can put on those inside walls. And that's exactly what water block is.
Right. Water block, you know, locks onto that bare block. You know, it has to be bare because this needs something to hold on to. And what it does is it creates an impermeable layer, basically. You know, regular paint, if you put it on there, it breathes a little bit. So moisture and that water can still come through. And eventually it just pops your coating off. This one is not breathable. So it's going to hold in there. It's going to seep into the pores a little bit. And it's going to stay there because that water is blocked from coming through. Hence, water block.
Right. And water block will... Very good, Betsy.
Yeah.
Water block will resist pressure up to about 12 PSI, which is very high. Average ground pressure is, you know, any in the range from 8 to 10 PSI for water. So water block will resist most situations of water coming through your walls.
Right.
And again, like Betsy said, we've said it a couple times, it's got to be on bare concrete. So if you're sitting with a situation right now and you've got bare concrete blocks in your basement, you're a candidate for water block.
Yes.
It can help you with moisture problems. It can help you with a damp, musty basement. If there's paint on the walls, then you're going to have to look for other solutions.
Right.
But if you have bare walls, definitely think about it before you just go to regular paint.
Right.
Because once regular paint is on the walls, water block's no longer an option for you.
Right.
You know, we had a customer not too long ago who came in with, you know, this exact same problem. You know, a fair amount of water, and they've been dealing with it like I had for years and years. You know, we're not talking pooling water where they have furniture flowing or anything like that. Kids swimming, you know, nothing like that.
Yes.
But water around the edges, just like I had.
Mm-hmm.
Very big nuisance and a horribly damp, musty smell all the time.
Right.
They put water block on the walls.
Uh-huh.
Dramatically reduced that problem. Didn't completely stop all the water from coming in, but so dramatically reduced the problem, the customer was absolutely thrilled. And as a bonus, it reduced the musty smell completely. I think it completely removed the musty smell.
Yeah. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about a product called Water Block that is made specifically for wet basements. You know, it goes on your walls. It cannot go on your floor. I just want to throw that out there. It has to go on the walls. It's not durable to be walked on and things like that. Plus, pressure from the ground is more
much higher than
your
wall
walls.
Pressure, right?
Right.
So it's just not going to work for a floor.
Yep.
Works great on the walls. If you're thinking this is a solution for you,
mm-hmm.
and you want to know how you, you know, how you apply it, how you prep the walls,
yep.
there's nothing to it. It's just like any regular paint project.
Right.
Prep the walls well. Make sure they're clean. Make sure they're dry. If you've got mold or mildew down there, you're going to have to use a bleach solution with water, you know, and kill that. Make sure that's gone. And if you've got efflorescence down there, you're going to need to get that off.
Yep.
Efflorescence very quickly is just a white powder. You might see that on the block forming in your basement in various areas. It's really just, you know, to simplify it, a reaction between the moisture coming through and the concrete.
Yes.
And it forms this powder. Get that off with a wire brush.
Yep.
At that point, once the walls are clean and dry, you just roll water block on. You use a half inch nap cover, three quarter inch nap cover.
Yeah.
Put a couple coats on and that should be good.
Just a warning, this stuff does not go very far. It's kind of like block filler. You know, you're only going to get maybe 70 to 150 square feet at the most out of this product. So just be prepared that, you know, you're going to need more gallons than you think you should. And then, you know, it can be painted over when you're all done if you want a color down there. Just make sure that when you're doing this, you're doing it when the walls are maybe only slightly damp. You definitely don't want them to be wet, you know, like right after it's rained and you're trying to dry everything out. Wait until those walls have dried as much as they possibly can, you know, not bone dry because sometimes that just can't happen, but at least, you know, just very slightly damp.
The only other things you would need to think about is if you've got any holes or gaps or cracks that are an eighth inch or more.
Yep.
Then you're going to need to fill those with a hydraulic cement.
Yep, before you put this on.
Right, smaller things can be patched and filled with caulk or anything like that.
Exactly.
Now, water block may solve a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. In fact, it will solve a lot of problems. It may solve yours.
Yes.
May entirely solve it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also other things you can do to eliminate moisture. You know, I went through all of these when I had the moisture problem in my house, and it dramatically reduced it. For example, gutters.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have, you know, rain gutters installed,
install them.
Make sure those downspouts channel the water at least 10 feet away from the house if possible.
Right.
Make sure the grade slopes away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different things you can do that will dramatically help fix that problem.
Right. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Coming up next, we're going to be in the studio with Grapids Irrigation, and we won't be talking about how to keep the water out, but rather how to put the perfect amount of water on your yard using the newest technology. That's all when we come back, so stay tuned.
What if there was a paint where each drop was engineered to be smarter than you ever thought possible?
Announcing our summa cum laude graduates.
So when a color didn't go on evenly, it would reshuffle each pigment to reveal its truest, richest state. If a paint could realize the fullest potential of any color, is it still paint? Aura Interior from Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And I'm pretty excited about this segment.
I know you are. I know the whole barefoot in the lush lush grass thing.
Because if everything goes as planned, everyone will have a lawn I can stand in and practice superhero poses.
Well, see, the way you describe that, if everything goes as planned, that is super villain talk. If everything goes as planned. So I think you're a super villain who's
going to
be standing in everybody's yard.
Look out.
Yeah.
Look out, world. Here I come.
Yeah, here she comes. Aaron Caterberg from Grapids Irrigation is in the studio, and he's been here with us before, helping us take our lawns from brown to lush. Today, we want to talk about something just a little different. Aaron, Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it.
Now, sprinkler systems. We've talked about those before. Now I want to focus on new technology. You know, what's out there? What do you see in the industry as up and coming?
Yeah, I see a lot of really neat and interesting things. A lot of my time over the course of the winter being here in Michigan, I'm talking with industry leaders and owners of some of the manufacturers, and a lot of the things that are in the pipeline are really exciting. One of the biggest ones that we've seen over the last couple years is what they refer to as smart controllers. And smart controllers back in the late 70s, early 80s, they started putting rain sensors on controllers that are basically an on and off switch. Well, over about the last 10 years, maybe 15, they started going to what are called weather stations. And there's been different debates on how to best monitor what the weather's doing, whether that is through soil moisture probes or through weather stations that are measuring evapotranspiration. If you go out to Iowa and visit family out there, you'll hear they always, with the temperature, they're always talking about the ET.
Okay.
And essentially what a weather station does is measures the ET, which is relative humidity, temperature, rainfall, and average wind speed, and then factors that into soil type as well as the plant type to ideally water the crop.
So I normally just go outside and touch the ground, and if it feels really spongy, I figure I'm using too much. Seems like there's more involved with what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot more technology behind that.
So how does that all work?
So with those initial weather stations, different manufacturers try different things. The most basic would try and figure out what the average is and basically took a modified weather station that would adjust percentage-wise up and down your controller. So if it were dry, it would go up to 150% and run everything 50% longer. If it were wet, your controller would automatically adjust down to 10 or 20% of what you had programmed it for. Some of them went real complicated, and you had to program in every grade, every type of grass that you had in the yard, how much shade was in that section.
Holy smokes. And
so they all went different directions.
That sounds insane.
Yeah. For a homeowner, not everyone wants to be a horticulturist.
Right.
I just want my yard to be green, but not overly so that I sink when I walk.
Right.
You know, that's that delicate balance there. Right.
And so the new controllers, I think with technology, a lot of times you see that. Once the interface is at a point where normal people like you and I feel comfortable interacting with it, that's really when it makes the big jump and the big step. And over the last just a couple years, we've seen smart controllers really come in from outside the industry, and then they're starting to get bought up by the industry. They really came out a lot out of the home automation section of companies, and now they're going to things like Weather Underground, where they're getting that ET information, and then they're applying that into your controller through Wi-Fi. So for instance, I could control the controller at my office right through my phone right now and see all the weather information, and it could pull off of six different weather stations that are within a mile of there that are many, many thousands of dollar weather stations.
And that's all to just control the right amount of water for your yard.
And to save you money. So if you're on city water, you don't have to spend the money. Or if you're on a well, you don't have to beat on your well or use the electricity. And all your plants are going to be healthier because of that, both your lawn and your beds.
So is that something that can be added to any system, or does that need to be installed right from, you know, the ground up? When I put a new system in, I need that.
The rain sensor could be put in a system that my grandpa installed in the 1950s.
So the rain sensor was basically like an on-off switch.
The new ones are now wireless, whereas back when they first came out, you had to run a wire and try and fish it through the house. So it was more added expense and more of a pain to get it connected to your controller. When you're buying one of the current controllers that has the weather station at your house that's only for your controller, that you need to change out the brains or the controller for your home. But the old technology, as far as if the heads are a little bit older or the valves are a little bit older, that stuff isn't any different. It's kind of like a smart sink, right? You could change out the faucet, and when you wave your hand in front of it, it's going to turn on, even if you had an old water source and it was connected to old pipes.
Sure.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we are in the studio with Aaron Kederberg from Grapids Irrigation, and he's answering all of our questions on the newest technology out there for our sprinkler systems. Now, you just talked about these new smart controllers. How much is something like this going to run?
So it's come down to a residential level. Mm-hmm. That the newest, fanciest controllers that we're putting in, for the controller itself, it's maybe only a couple $100 more than a traditional controller.
Oh.
Another thing that's really interesting, exciting with the smart controllers that they're starting to come out with now, for me, is that they're flow sensing as well. So they can monitor how much water is coming out of your house at all times,
mm-hmm.
and then also know what your system is supposed to be using. So if you get a leak because someone hit a sprinkler head in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
Out in your lawn, or you hit it with the mower and didn't notice and it's gushing all over, mm-hmm. it's going to sense that and send you an email and tell you that that needs to be fixed.
Dan's going to get a lot of emails.
So that, well, that is interesting, though, because last fall or last spring, I have a drip system mm-hmm. that the homeowner installed,
yes.
you know, along with my sprinkler. So it's underground, these little hoses by my garden, my flower beds mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And we love that because this is the first time in our whole lives that my wife and I have been able to keep flowers alive mm-hmm. the whole season, not just for the 3 weeks
uh-huh.
that they, you know, live off of wherever they came from.
Right.
Anyway. And my sprinkler system goes off at 4 in the morning, I think it yeah. starts. Okay, I'm getting to a point, Betsy.
Uh-huh.
And I went and did some digging at one of these days to get the flower yeah. beds ready. And then as the summer started to go on, we noticed that our beds were – the flowers weren't surviving. So I'm messing with the timer and a million different things. And finally I decide I'm going to run everything while I'm here and awake.
Right.
And I found this huge gash in my hose.
Somebody was digging in there and hit a line.
Somebody. It was me.
Somebody.
I completely severed the line. I never knew it.
Uh-huh.
So this would have caught that.
It would. It would see that the flow was off from what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it would have alerted me as the contractor that you have a problem, as well as alerting you right through your email.
I know I've got a problem, but now
you better get one
are,
of those.
I do need to get that. That is very cool. So what else is out there? You know, that's really cool. We got a minute or two.
Yeah. Most of the other things that have progressed in the last 10 or 15 years are more mechanical. As people have become more water conscious and water has become more of a commodity, things like check valves on all the heads. So if you have one at the bottom of the hill, the water is not emptying out of that and the line is having to refill or have water hammer come down
oh,
it
gotcha.
Every time that it goes.
So water hammer, that is what?
That is when water comes down a line quickly and it's empty and then it hits the end of all the fittings and beats up your pipe and beats
okay.
up everything in the system. Pressure regulation is also a big one that's come into play over the last 15 or 20 years. Pressure regulation, especially for spray or what some people refer to as Mr. Heads, they're designed to run really at 30 PSI, and they're the biggest water hogs in my business.
Mm-hmm.
It saves about 30% on running that zone as far as water and as far as dollars to have them pressure regulated. There's an initial cost, but the long-term payback is there for some of those things.
Okay.
There are some different nozzles now that you can put on those that put water down much slowly. And the water also absorbs into the soil at a better rate. So instead of getting so much runoff like you would with the sprays, by changing some of those things, your system becomes much more efficient.
Okay. Aaron, if people want to get a hold of you or Grapids to discuss any of the things that we talked about or who knows what else involving their sprinkler systems, how do they do that?
Yes. Our local number in Grand Rapids is 616-235-6666. And our website is grapids.com. Our email is service@grapids.com. All very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got multiple people who are on the phone answering all the time.
service@grapids.com is the email. grapids.com is the website. Check it out. Aaron, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks again. Appreciate it, Dan and Betsy.
And that's going to do it for another episode of the Repcolite Home Improvement Show. The good news is past episodes are online.
Woo-hoo!
Right? Who doesn't want to listen to more? You can find them at repcolite.com. You just
yep.
need to click the On the Radio tab right on the homepage, and you can find the archives from there. Go check it out.
Right. There are lots of ways you can also connect with us, you know, besides just listening to us on the radio every week. You can email us at radio@repcolite.com. We're collecting emails and, you know, taking questions and putting them together into future episodes. So if you want to be a part, email us. We like that. You can also connect with us on social media. You know, we've got a Facebook page. We post videos and information there.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of, you know, sort of doing the Twitter thing a little bit. We're still
learning
yeah,
Twitter.
We're learning
It's going to be a while before we're expert Twitterers.
Exactly.
Right?
Is that
Twitterers?
A thing? Yes, I
tweeters?
Think so. We'll just
expert
go with it.
Tweeters.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Yeah. We're better at Pinterest.
Yes. We're very good at Pinterest. And we're on YouTube a little bit. I mean, there are some videos up there, but really we're great at Pinterest.
Pinterest is good, and we're good at the Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah. So check those things
exactly.
out. And one reminder we want to quick get across is we do have that incredible opportunity we mentioned earlier with 26-year Navy SEAL veteran, mm-hmm. Joe Coons, who's going to put on a free personal safety seminar geared at college-age students mm-hmm. and their families.
Right. The details are all at repcolite.com, but you know, it is a free seminar and space is very limited. So you want to be sure that you're going there right now or very soon so that you can get registered and hold your place because there are only so many seats available.
It is going to be good. Joe is one of my favorite interviews that we've ever done.
Yes.
He's so compelling,
mm-hmm.
so interesting. He's changed the way I look at almost every experience I go through.
Yes.
And when he talked to us a little earlier to give us an idea yep. of what he would cover at an event for college students.
Yes.
Honestly, parents, you're going to want to be there. You're
yes.
going to want to have your college-age kids there. This is very important stuff. You can go online right now for details and register. That's repcolite.com. Get there. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And even help your kids make friends at college.
Just like I did.
Just like Betsy. Thanks for listening.